Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 117, the first three verses. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come, thy gracious face, to see? It is the first three verses of 117. Thank you. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, thereof the 27th chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse through 60. But first let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Matthew 27, beginning with verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were the two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and the day that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joas, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence. Let us pray together. Merciful, gracious, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, for the second time on thy day, we may be gathered together in thy house as a congregation and with our children, to place ourselves under the means of grace, to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, may it become a wonder to each one of us that we may yet be in the time of grace, that we may yet again hear the precious word of God, the word of God that thou hast given unto us and to our children to teach us who thou art, but also to teach who we are. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would bless thy word by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may it become a wonder unto us that thou art yet willing to speak unto us and to our children. In spite of all our sins, all our iniquities, and what we have made ourselves to be in thy sight. Lord, we beg thee then, give us a little impression tonight of whom we are speaking unto in prayer, that we are approaching unto thee, that highest majesty in heaven, whom we have offended, whom we have sinned against. Lord, give that true humility, that true awe, that reverence, that bowing before thee. But also, Lord, wilt thou give that true faith to cry unto thee, to supplicate thee for those blessings that we need that only can come from thee. And Lord, wilt thou then teach us to pray? Give us then also that spirit of supplication and of prayer as we come unto thee. And Lord, thou hast said in thy word, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What a wonder that thou art seeking, and yet even calling rebels, sinful, corrupt, polluted, destroyed sinners, to come unto thee, to seek thee, to cry unto thee, to pray unto thee. O Lord, we beg thee that as we have gathered together in thy house, that thou wilt come among us. O wilt thou rend the heavens and come among us with thy blessed presence of thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, wilt thou open deaf spiritual ears to truly hear thy word, to hear thy voice through thy word. Lord, wilt thou enlighten darkened sinful minds to the truths of thy word, of who we are, of who thou art, and of that only way of salvation through thy dear Son. Open spiritually blind eyes that we may see who we are by the mirror of thy word, of thy law, that we are sin. Teach us who thou art. O, give a little impression and reveal unto us by thy word and spirit that only precious mediator, that only Savior, that substitute for sinners. And Lord, tonight then, when we may meditate and dwell upon thy death and thy burial, Lord, we all know it. We could even maybe write certain truths down and we can confess it, but do we truly know it? Do we truly know who we are? who thou art, but also that precious Savior of his death. Lord, thou knowest those who have no need for him, who know his name, who can say it, but have never had an urgency in their heart, that they need a Savior, a mediator, to reconcile them with a holy and just God. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, give them life. Thou art the one who can only give them life. Bring them as guilty, lost, bankrupt sinners unto thyself. Lord, we beg thee, remember those who have been made alive. And may it have been a wonder that there is a Savior, that there is a Mediator, that they have seen something of the wonder of Bethlehem and had that true joy in the gospel in their hearts. But now they may feel it's all impossible again. Everything has become so closed up. O Lord, wilt thou lead them to that place where thy justice is satisfied? They thought teach them that payment must be made and that room may be made in their heart not only for a precious, given, born Savior, but also for a Savior who is willing to die and who is buried. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, tonight with the preaching of the gospel that it may be mixed with faith and them that hear it, that they would not only hear, but that the hearing of the gospel will work faith by thy Holy Spirit in their hearts, that they may hear it, that they may believe it, that it may become a wonder, and that they may truly bow in adoration and worship and adore thee, and that only Savior who was not only born, but who also willingly gave himself as a sacrifice, as that Lamb of God. Lord, we beg thee then, do above all that we can think and ask, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the salvation of poor, needy, perishing sinners. Oh, may the death of the Lord Jesus Christ become food, that he who is that bread of life, who said that we must eat of him and drink of his blood, oh, wilt thou then give that faith to truly eat, to truly believe in thee? Lord, we beg thee then, it's thy work. In ourselves there's only death. We can only bring forth unbelief and sin and doubt and wickedness. But by thy grace, sinners will be born again. They will repent. They will confess. And they will become hungry and thirsty for thee, for the living God. And they will begin to seek for a way to be reconciled unto thee. Oh, wilt thou then take by the heart and hand and lead unto that only way through thy dear Son of him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. O Lord, have mercy upon us. We beg thee, come among us. Work mightily, irresistibly. We pray and ask thee that thou would help each one to listen for their own need, for their own soul. Lord, thou knowest those who have a burden of sin and iniquity and transgressions. As we know of Christian who is burdened with that burden and who needed to be directed to that only way, O Lord, wilt thou then draw them unto thyself, unto that only place where they may find that forgiveness of sins in thy precious cross. Lord, we beg thee, show us, reveal unto us thy great wrath against sin, but also where and how thy justice was satisfied through the cross, through the death of thy dear Son. We beg and pray thee then, Lord, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach. Lord, if thou wilt close, who can open? But if thou wilt open, who can close? Take away all distractions. Take away him who whispers and who deceives sinners. Oh, we beg thee that he may be cast out and that attention may be given, that a blessing may be upon thy word and the preaching of the precious gospel. Lord, we pray and ask thee to remember us all in all our cares and needs for this life, but also especially for that life to come. We pray, Lord, prepare us to meet thee. Oh, may it be pressed upon us, on our souls and our hearts, that we were born and we must die, and we have sin, and sin needs to be paid to be able to meet thee in peace. Oh, wilt thou give that hunger and thirst for the living God, for his favor, for communion with thee, and give also that teaching of that only way of favor with God, of communion. Oh, may it be tasted tonight through the love of the Father, through the love of the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask thee then to remember our government, those whom thou hast placed over us locally, federally, nationally. Lord, remember the Prime Minister. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, our nation, this nation was built on Christian principles, but we have forsaken thee. We have destroyed ourselves. Give a return unto thee, to thy word, to the law, and that thy word may be a light upon all the decisions in the government. We beg and pray thee, Lord, remember that all the judges of this nation who also must make decisions, may they make decisions according to thy law, for thy honor, for thy glory. Forgive our great and many sins, all our sins as a nation, as our sins rise up against thee, sins of abortion, sins of euthanasia, sins against thy day, against all thy commandments, but also of marriages that are not according to thy will and according to thy word, but also, Lord, of transgender, of not obeying thy word, that thou hast created us male and female. Oh, we beg thee, do not forsake us, Lord. Do not leave us because of all our sins and iniquities. In thy wrath, remember mercy. Richly yet bless the precious preaching of thy precious word in Canada. Give a returning to thee. Give a revival. Give hatred for sin and love for righteousness. Lord, we beg thee, remember us also in our families. Give love and faithfulness as husbands and wives. Give God-fearing parents, and that we may raise our children in the tender fear of the Lord. Remember our children, teenagers, and younger ones. Bless thy word to their souls. Give them a heart, Lord, a new heart, a heart that loves thee, a heart that hungers for thee, a heart that desires to follow thee, to obey thee. Lord, we beg thee, remember then also all the needs throughout this nation, but also in our denomination. Lord, we beg thee, wilt thou give God-fearing elders and deacons, and help all them whom thou hast called. Oh, wilt thou give that they may be like Stephen, full of the Spirit, and that they may be used as instruments in thy vineyard for thy honor, for thy glory. But Lord, we beg thee, there are so many congregations without an under-shepherd. Oh, wilt thou then thrust forth men who have thy grace, that may be called by thee, and that in the coming season, that they may be accepted to enter into the school, to be instructed, and then also to be sent out. Remember the two students. Remember also the instructors. Lord, look upon us in mercy as a denomination. Oh, give yet that there may be that clear sound of the gospel of death in Adam and life in Christ, and richly bless it, Lord. We beg and pray thee, Lord, that thou would also remember that family whom we have sponsored to come, to be able to immigrate to Canada, to come among us. Lord, we beg thee, open the way, and that they may come here to live among us, to hear the precious truths of the word of God. Open the way, Lord. It's in thy hands. And if it isn't thy will, may it be soon. Give patience and give much prayer among us for that family. Remember then also, Lord, the needs as a congregation. Lord, thou knowest all the efforts also to be able to have a building where we may all come together with all our families and our children. Lord, thou knowest the needs and the hearts of those who must give us a permit to be able to build is in also thy hands. Oh, if it is in thy will, wilt thou then incline their hearts to give approval, Lord? Guide us. May we be given to look unto thee and to follow thee. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy, Lord. Give also in this evening a blessing on the preaching of thy precious word. Help thy servant, the sinner, on the pulpit. Give him the unction of the Holy Spirit. Give the words to speak, Lord. And remember each one who is listening here or who may be listening along by different means. Lord, give a blessing. May thy kingdom come. May sinners be born again. And may guilty, lost, perishing sinners be led unto thyself. Unto that only Savior, oh, may he become so necessary, may he become so suitable, and may he become so precious. Lord, look upon us then in mercy. We deserve nothing. We sin everything away. We're polluted. We have destroyed ourselves, Lord, with all our sins, with all our iniquities. But look upon us, hear us, and answer us because of him. In whom thou art well pleased, of him who's at thy right hand, in whose name we pray and beg, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 266, all three stanzas. God is King forever, let the nations tremble. Throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored. He is great in Zion, high above all peoples. Praise him with fear, for holy is the Lord. 266, all three stanzas, and the collections for this evening are for the church and for the North American General Mission Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, we are considering through the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith the humiliation of Jesus Christ. We have considered his humble birth. We have considered something of his suffering. What are the next steps? Well, his death. And we read of his death in Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And then the next step, that is his burial. And we read that, for example, in verses 58 through 60. He went to Pilate, and that was Joseph, and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. So here we read of those next two steps, of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and also of his burial. And because what we read in God's word, we confess. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and now we read, dead and buried. And tonight, we would like to consider these two steps and what we read in Lord's Day 16, question and answers 40 and 41. Lord's Day 16, question and answer 40 and 41, which you can find, I believe, in the back of your Psalter on page 44. Question and answer 40. Why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? Because with respect to the justice and truth of God, satisfaction for our sins could be made no otherwise than by the death of the Son of God. And then question and answer 41, why was he also buried? The answer, thereby to prove that he was really dead. So why did Jesus Christ need to die? Why did Jesus Christ need to be buried? Why does the church confess, I believe in Jesus Christ and his death and in his burial? What's the comfort in it? We hope to consider that. So the theme tonight is faith in the death and burial of Jesus Christ. Faith in the death and burial of Jesus Christ. Two thoughts. First, the necessity of his death, and then we will consider question and answer number 40. The necessity of his death. True recipients of grace, God's children, begin to believe, begin to cherish. No, they even begin to celebrate the death of Jesus Christ. It becomes a wonder for them. It becomes food for their souls. The necessity of his death. And then the purpose of his burial. Why did Jesus Christ need to be buried? What was the reason? We hope to consider. There's a reason, and it's a comfort. So with the Lord's help, faith in the death and burial of Jesus Christ, the necessity of his death and the purpose of his burial. So our first thought, the necessity of his death. Congregation, children, why do people die? We've all experienced it in our families. We've all been to the graveside. We've all know what it is to mourn, to lose someone we love, deeply love, and to bury them. Why is there death? You say the answer is because of sin. Exactly. But now, why did Jesus Christ need to die? Jesus Christ had no sin. He was perfect. Why did he need to die? And now I'd like to place before you this question. What if he didn't die? He did. But what if he didn't die? Have you ever thought of why he needed to die? And what if he did not die? Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples that he was going to suffer and die? As we read, for example, in Luke 9, verse 22. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." He spoke of his death, of his necessity to suffer, but even to die. Jesus Christ, that perfect, immaculate, infinite, holy Son of God, must die. That divine perfection in the flesh, he must die. Did the disciples understand when the Lord Jesus Christ said he had to suffer and die? No, they didn't. They didn't understand at all. Yes, they loved him. They were God's children. They needed the forgiveness of the sins. But what do we read about Peter? Peter rebuked Jesus, a son of man, a sinner, rebuked Jesus, as we read in Matthew 16, verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." So Peter rebuked. In my own words, he had a strong reproval for the Lord Jesus Christ. "No, Lord, this will never happen. Lord, no, you don't need to die." Peter had love. He had deep love for his master. He couldn't understand at all why his dear shepherd would need to suffer and die. He didn't want to hear anything about his beloved master ever suffering and dying. Why? Peter had no understanding of the way, of that only way of the forgiveness of sins, of that only way back to eternal sweet communion in the presence of a holy, infinite God. He knew he was a sinner. He knew Jesus Christ was the Savior of sinners, but he didn't know the way. He didn't have that understanding. He needed to be taught. Yes, we need to be taught we're a sinner. We need to be taught of the only way through the only mediator. But we also need to be taught into those mysteries of the faith, of the wonders, of the grace of God, that Jesus Christ was not only a born Savior, what a wonder, unspeakable gift, but that he also needed to suffer and that he even needed to die. May I ask you, did you come tonight knowing the Lord's day was about the death? Did you come with hunger, with thirst? Or did you just come because it's Sunday night? Church starts at 6. I need to come. And you come, you listen. Maybe you could even have said, "The Lord Jesus needs to die." But there's no necessity in your heart. There's no need. He has never become suitable for your soul. No need, no suitableness. But are you like Peter still? Or has it become precious? May the Lord give a need. May the Lord lead and teach to the depth and the wonders of the grace, not only of a Savior who humbled himself, who suffered, but even died. Died. A most horrible and cursed death. Why did he need to die? Why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? Because with respect to the justice and truth of God, satisfaction for our sins could be made no otherwise than by the death of the Son of God. The Lord renews sinners, teaches them a little something of their sins, teaches them of a need of a mediator, and he opens the way. He reveals it by the Holy Spirit of one. He teaches them of their guilt. But they need to be led further. Not only that their wages of sin is death, not only that they're guilty, but they need one to stand in the place for them to take upon him their sins. And they learn by God, by this grace, and by the Holy Spirit. They're taught they've destroyed themselves. They're taught that they're under wrath and they only deserve eternal punishment. and that they're under the curse of law because they have never kept his law, and they are still unable to keep his law. And God demands perfection. God demands payment. His arms are closed until that payment is made. And his arms are opened through the way of a payment. May I ask you, do you know something of this? That you are a sinner? That you're guilty? That you deserve death? That you're under wrath? And that also you know you must pay, but you can't pay? God demands his justice to be satisfied, and from your side, has it become impossible? Absolutely impossible. Do you understand what we sing in Psalter 426? The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul by grief and sorrow riven. I turned in my distress to God in prayer. I cried, deliver thou my soul, O Lord. Do you understand this? Is this your life? All your sins rolling over you? The pangs of death and crying to God because there's none else to help? Sinners, recipients of God's grace, learn this. They experience, and it becomes a wonder of the gospel to hear of one of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that there is a mediator, but then also to hear that there is a mediator, that there is one who paid, a given one, a provided one. No man asked for him, but God the Father gave him. God the Father sent him. He was all provided from God for wretched sinners. And oh, that blessed work of the Holy Spirit that converts, convicts, makes room, empties of self, leads to a bankrupt sinner to find everything. Not only a born Savior, not only a righteous Savior, not only a Savior who was willing to suffer, but even also to die. What lessons we need to learn before a holy, a just God who will by no means clear the guilty. And we read something in John 13 about the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. He loved them from eternity. He loved them unto the end. And he's soon going to lay down his life. He's going to give his body. He's going to give his blood. He's going to love them unto the end. He's not going to rest. And he did not rest until he has laid his life down as a sacrifice on the cross, as a lamb was slain on the altar. It was consumed by the wrath of God and the Lamb of God. He loved him unto the end. He didn't stop. He went to the very end that he agreed with his Father to do. In that blessed covenant of grace, God the Father said, how will I put them among my people? I've chosen an innumerable number of sinners. But they're fallen, they're self-destroyed, they're polluted. My arms are closed. How can I ever put them among my people? How could they ever come into my presence? And it was his will. It was his infinite wisdom. It was his justice that payment must be made. It was his truth that man sinned, man must die. And it was his love and mercy that provided a way through his Son. And Jesus Christ, his Son, said, and I say that with reverence, I will go. Send me. He is that head of the covenant of grace. He knew the necessity of the justice and the truth of God. It needed to be satisfied. And if he didn't go, and he didn't pay, and he didn't fulfill the law, obedience, but also if he didn't lay down his life, if he didn't give that sacrifice, then God's justice would never be satisfied. He came. He loved them unto the end. Nothing turned them away from that love. He loved them to the end. No, Peter didn't stop him. That love of Peter, no, he rebuked him. Get thee behind me, Peter, Satan. And he went. He went to that garden as a worm and no man suffering. He went to the cross. Why? Because he loved them to the end. He saw the joy that was coming through the satisfaction of his death. What love? What substitutional love that he came as the Lamb of God to stand in the place of hell-worthy, condemned sinners. The shepherd for the sheep. This is the doctrinal truth. But has it? Has it become food for your soul? Has it become precious? It's a doctrinal truth that he, the just, laid down his life for the unjust, that Jesus Christ died, that he needed to satisfy the justice of God. But has it become a comfort? Is there a need in your soul, not only for a Savior, for a born Savior, for a holy Savior, but for a dying Savior, for one who would satisfy the justice of God? And remember, so often we focus on the precious Lord Jesus Christ, and that's good. He is to be exalted to the highest. But don't forget, this all flows of the love of the heart of God the Father. God the Father sent him. It was his will. It was his good pleasure. It was his good pleasure that chose the people. It was his good pleasure that sent his son. But it was even his good pleasure that his son would die, suffer, pay with his broken body and shed blood. Jesus Christ, he came. He knew the absolute necessity. The necessity for God's justice to be satisfied. And he came. And he laid down his life, and through his death, he must die. And through his death, there is forgiveness of sins. There is eternal life for self-destroyed sinners. There is those blessings that flow from God. What a necessity to give his life. My friend, do you know a little something of this? Do you know that the Lord has the right to demand your life for your sin? And do you know that there's one who came, who was willing to come, who is that ransom? And God could say, I have found a ransom. Do you have no ransom? This evening he says, I have found a ransom through my Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. When we speak about God's grace, we say it's free grace. Free sovereign grace. And it is free. It's free for unworthy sinners. It doesn't cost them anything. We cannot pay, and to try to pay is an offense, but it has a cost. But first, let's read Romans 5, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So we read free and a gift of grace for unworthy sinners. It's given freely. It flows of the sovereign good pleasure to God, to absolute hell-worthy, unworthy sinners, and yet it has a cost. What's the cost? No, it didn't cost those sheep anything. It cost the shepherd. It cost the father of the shepherd everything. God the Father, he gave his only beloved son who was ever his delight. What father among us would give his son for an enemy? None of us. We love our sons. But God the Father, what a cost. He had to give his own beloved son, who he infinitely loved, who was his pleasure all eternity. He sent him. What a cost. He didn't only send him to live on this earth. He sent him to suffer, not only to suffer, but even to die. What wonders of God's grace. Because through that way, unworthy sinners can have favor. Favor with God, communion with God, eternal life with God, can live in his presence. Heaven is opened through him. And Jesus Christ, what a cost for him. What a cost for him to humble himself, to leave all the glory of that holy, infinite place with his Father, who is ever in his presence, sweet communion with his Father, uninterrupted. And he came to this earth, and he suffered, and he died. Why? Why did Jesus Christ need to die? Because of God's truth, because of God's justice. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Do you want to see how horrible sin is? We can say sin is horrible, but do we really see it? What wickedness it is, what evil it is, how horrible it is? Where should we look? Look at the cross. Look at the cost of God the Father. Look at the cost of his Son. Look at the cross. There you see the infinite wrath of God against sin. And there you also see the infinite love of God that he provided a way for hell-worthy sinners. The wages of sin is death. But this is not only true for sinners. This also became truth for the mediator. Yes, for Jesus Christ. It came truth for him. He had to die. Why? Because he's the substitute. He came as that mediator to stand in the place. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all his beloved people. And he willingly took it upon himself. He who knew no sin was made sin. And the only answer was, thou must die. He was condemned to death. No, not just before Pilate, but remember, before God. The sword of God's justice was over his dear Son. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against my fellow servant. And that sword slew him. Jesus had to die. God's justice, his truth and his justice demands satisfaction. Satisfaction. That is why Jesus Christ, that pure Lamb of God, but who was a substitute, that mediator, had to die. Sin against God demands payment. And you must pay. Or another must pay for you. Can you pay? Do you know you must pay? Let's begin with that question. Do you know you must pay? You must pay for your sin. And God has a right. He has a right to demand of us payment, perfection, because he made us capable to obey and to be perfect. And so that sword hangs above your head. Do you see it? Must pay. But have you learned also? You cannot pay. Have you learned? It's all empty. I have nothing. I have nothing to pay. I only have sin. I've only destroyed myself. I can only bring forth filthy rags. Nothing righteous. It's all polluted. Nothing to pay. And yet that demand stays. That right, just demand. And it's good. May you hear it. May it bring you to death himself. And may it drive you and draw you to the only Savior to take rescue under his wings. And he calls. He calls. Listen as he calls. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. No money. Is that you? Come ye, buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. How can that be that the Almighty God calls, invites those who have nothing to come and eat, to partake of the blessings, of the riches, of the table, of the gospel table, of those blessings of Christ? How can they come without money? Because another has paid. Another has paid for all those blessings. Jesus Christ has paid, satisfied the justice of God. Why did Jesus Christ need to come in the flesh? Why did he need to die? Because only an infinite payment can satisfy the infinite justice of God, nothing less. And yet it is complete and perfect and full. The Lamb of God has paid. He is the true man. He's a righteous man, but he's also very God. And so that payment he made, that God the Father saw his Son on the cross, he could be satisfied, appeased, His wrath was satisfied. He could never, ever look upon the earth from when Adam fell unto the very end of the world. He could never, ever look any place on this whole earth and say, satisfied. But he saw one place. And that's where you need to look, sinner. To that one place. To the cross. To the cross where his son, his beautiful son, his only son, his precious son, who gave himself as the Lamb of God and who went to the cross and who suffered and died. There he saw the travail of his soul and he was satisfied. And that opened the arms of God, so to speak, that he could receive self-destroyed sinners back again. How? As servants? No. As sons, as daughters, that he could embrace them as the prodigal father could embrace his son. Jesus Christ needed to suffer and to die. And my friend, you must pay. Yes, I want to press this home. You're guilty and you must pay. You must. God has every right to demand full satisfaction for all sins and payment. He has the right. May you see it. May you feel it. But may you also hear of that payment, of that only payment through the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no negotiations. Sometimes we have a debt, and we go to the man and say, please. And you barter, and you try to negotiate, to try to take away some of the debt that you could pay it maybe. Negotiations. There is no negotiations. God is God. God is righteous. God is just. And he cannot just simply forgive because he's God. But that same God, that same holy, infinite being who's too pure to look upon sin, has also provided everything. Everything. Everything through his Son. Through his Son and Jesus Christ has paid. He is the only way back. Only way back to God. God's people, those sheep, those lambs, they don't only want the blessings. They don't want all the blessings. No, they want him himself. They hunger and thirst for him. They want to be brought back to him. They want communion. They want favor. They want his smile from God. If you could tell them your sins are forgiven, you won't go to hell, but they don't have a token from heaven. They don't have a little sweet communion. Then it's all nothing. No, they don't only want to escape hell. They want to be brought back to the very heart of God. They love him because he poured love in their hearts. And there's love for him. All those who by grace are born again learn that they've destroyed themselves, that their sin, and they become bankrupt. Repent of all their sin by the grace received and believe. Believe in that only Savior who was born in Bethlehem, who humbled himself, but also who believe of him who hung on the cross, who was cast out, rejected by men, and he hanged between heaven and the earth, hung there, deserted, forsaken by his own Father. Those that believe in him shall be saved. And all those who hear of him, who may even repeat all kinds of doctrines, and it may be very sound, but have no urgency for their own soul as a lost sinner, and who believe in him, that he becomes so necessary, that he becomes so suitable, exactly the one they need, exactly that one to stand in their place, exactly the one who has that only payment that they cannot make, who believe in him, shall be saved. John 3 verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Are you living without the Son? Are you? Be honest. Is there no true saving faith in your heart for Jesus Christ? Is there no love for him? No love, no need, then you are living without him. The wrath of God is abiding on you. It's on you already. And if you are not born again, and if you do not repent and do not believe him, then when you die, you will forever be lost. Dear friends, God demands payment. He's God. He demands payment. He cannot just forgive debt. He cannot. And you must pay. And the only acceptable payment is through his son, whom he has provided through his broken body and through his shed blood. What a cost for God the Father. And he did it willingly. He did it with love. With love. Can you understand it? I can. With love. And Jesus Christ, he gave everything. He couldn't have given more. He gave his life. He gave his body. He gave his blood. In a couple of weeks, the Lord willing, we hope to have the Lord's Supper again, that we would celebrate the Lord's death in poor, needy, guilty, lost, self-destroyed sinners who have no hope but hunger and thirst for God, and to know a little something of this precious Savior may come and sit and celebrate his death. But when is the Lord's Supper profitable for souls? When does it become more in depth, especially when they learn the justice of God they must pay and they cannot pay, and that they come to see the wonders of the grace, of the necessity, of the death, and the provision of God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ? My friend, look above. Love. God the Father so loved his Son that he gave his only begotten Son. Look above the cross. Look above. Look up. What love did he give? And no man asked, but he gave out of himself. And now listen to what we read in 1 John 4 verse 10. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. How great is that love? How great? And then the verse continues, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the sacrifice, to be that sacrifice that no sinner has. He came willingly to be that sacrifice. God freely gave. He gave everything to save completely lost sinners. And Jesus Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And now we read that first phrase in the answer, but with respect to the justice and truth of God. God freely gave his Son. Jesus Christ willingly gave himself for an innumerable multitude of sinners. And Jesus Christ, we heard already, he did it also for himself. He did it for the joy that he would see in the future. But may I ask you something? Why did God do this? Did he do it only? Well, only? Did he do it for an innumerable sinners to be saved? Or did he also do it for himself? Have you ever thought of that? Did he do it for himself? Yes, he did it for himself. Open your Bible to Zephaniah 3, verse 17. He did it for himself. He did it because out of his own being, he wanted to have joy eternally, to rejoice over a people. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. And there we read, Zephaniah 3, verse 17. In the word of God, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Did God do this for himself? Yes, for his own good pleasure. It began with his own good pleasure and for his eternal pleasure, that he could see an innumerable multitude of redeemed sinners through the precious blood of his dear Son, and he could rejoice over them. He did it for his joy. May I say this with much reverence? He didn't grudgingly give his Son. No, he didn't. He didn't do it reluctantly. He did it with love. He did it with love for that people, but he also did it for his own joy. joy. The Lord wanted to rejoice over self-destroyed sinners. What a wonder. What a wonder. What amazing love that he gave his son. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, just that he might bring us to God. God gave his son, that sinners would be brought back to him, and that he could joy over them eternally. That's heaven. What's heaven? Heaven is a redeemed multitude of sinners washed and cleansed through the payment of the blood of the Lamb, forgiven, enter into the eternal sweet communion eternally, and rejoicing in God, praising him. And as John Newton, we read in that psalm, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less reason to sing God's praise. It will never end of the people adoring him for such unspeakable grace, for such unworthy ones. But he will also joy over them eternally. What wonders! Why did Jesus Christ need to die? So that sinners, self-destroyed, corrupt, polluted sinners, could be brought back to the heart of God, to his favor and communion with him. But also for God, for his own honor, for his own glory, and for his joy. Will you be there, or will you be cast out? And so we come to the end, a few words of the necessity of the death of Jesus Christ. Let us sing now, standing, Psalter 365, all four stanzas. 365, all four stanzas. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 365, all four stanzas, standing. faith in the death and burial of Jesus Christ, the necessity of the death of Jesus Christ. And through that death, we've just sung it, with the Lord is tender mercy and redeeming love. Israel, Cortland, look for full salvation from above. It comes from Him through His Son. He had to die. The gift of the Father had to die. He had to suffer, but He also had to be buried. Why? Why did Jesus Christ need to be buried? Why couldn't He not have gone straight to heaven after He said it was finished? That the Lord would take His Son into heaven. Why did He need to be buried? What's the sense of Him being buried after He paid? Why? There's a reason. He died and He was buried. And so we read in question 41, the question and answer, why was He also buried? Thereby to prove that He was really dead. But didn't the soldier with his sword, with his spear, pierce a hole? And out came blood and water. Didn't he testify he's dead? They didn't break his legs. So why did he need to be buried? The wages of sin is death. And we do not bury, and I say that with much care, we don't bury living people. We bury dead people. The Lord Jesus Christ also needed to be buried to prove that He really, truly died. So that you see it. That you would see that tomb. No, it's open and empty now, but you would see that tomb. If we read in Matthew 27 that He was laid in a new tomb in the garden and it was sealed. His body lay there so you may have proof He died. Because proof that He died is proof that He paid. And proof that He paid is proof that the Father is satisfied. So it's all connected. Why? Various reasons I will share. Why did He need to be buried? Well, first, because He truly died to prove to you and to me and to the end of the world where the gospel is preached that Jesus Christ died and was buried. Look at the tomb. Look at the tomb in Matthew. See that sealed tomb. Jesus died, congregation, children. Jesus did truly die. The Son of God, the Son of Man, paid and He died. He was buried. He is the Messiah. God the Father is satisfied. But Jesus Christ was also buried to fulfill all the prophecies. And all those prophecies through the Old Testament, and even the prophecies that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, were fulfilled to prove what? To prove that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Oh, beloved covenant people, the Jewish people, look in the New Testament. Open your Bible and show them, those people, that the Lord would bless and take the veil away from their eyes. That Jesus Christ, the New Testament, that He is the Messiah. He fulfilled all those prophecies. But you also, that you may hear it. That the hearing of the gospel may work faith in your heart. That Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The very one you need for your perishing soul. And we read in Acts 13 verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of Him, they took Him down from the tree and laid Him in a sepulcher. Jesus Christ was buried. God's word testifies it. Seal on the tomb. He was buried. So seek Him. Seek Him. He is the Messiah. Don't seek it in yourself. Don't seek it any other way. Don't seek it by the law, but seek it in Him. Open the scriptures and beg the Lord. Reveal unto my soul that only Savior. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. Jesus Christ was buried. Another reason. He was buried that He, as He said, He would be in the grave for 3 days. How do we know a prophet is true, congregation? What do we read in Deuteronomy? that if a prophet prophesies something and it doesn't come to pass, he's false. He's not a true prophet. Now, Jesus Christ was a prophet, a priest, and a king, and he prophesied himself about his death, but also that he would be in the grave 3 days. Open your Bible and listen to the word of God that Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 40. Here we hear a prophecy of Jesus Christ about himself. And is he a true prophet? Yes, he is. Because this prophecy was fulfilled by him. Matthew 12, verse 40. He said, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And he was there on Friday, Saturday, and he rose on Sunday. 3 days. And for the Jews, a part of a day was a full day. So there's no discussion. 3 days. He was in the grave for 3 days. He prophesied. He was buried and in the grave for 3 days. He is the true prophet. He's the prophet you need to instruct your soul. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He has paid. The Father is satisfied in him. Why was Jesus Christ buried? Why did he need to be buried? To remove the curse from the grave. To remove the curse from the grave for his beloved people. That he would move the curse of death and the curse of the grave. The last enemy is death. Who doesn't fear death? God's people also, they fear death. And God gives grace when it is needed. But the last enemy, death and the grave, it has been taken away by Jesus Christ. And one more reason. He was buried and his body rested there. And we read in the word of God that for God's people, the grave is only a resting place. It's a resting place. They turn to dust, but it's a resting place. That body is waiting for the return of Jesus Christ when he will come. And the trumpet will sound, and all the dead will rise, and all alive will change in a moment, waiting for the redemption. Redemption. Jesus Christ was buried. He was buried in a new tomb. He was buried in a garden. What does that mean? It's symbolic. What happened in the garden, children? Adam sinned. And now the second Adam, he in a garden. He suffered as a worm and no man. His sweat became as great drops of blood as he was made sin who knew no sin. And he was buried also in the garden of Joseph. Buried in a tomb in a garden. He did this as the substitute. He stood firm. He was holy. He fulfilled the will of God. And he came and he went into a garden to be buried. And he would raise out of that same garden. He's the substitute. And through this way, he opened the way, may I say it, to that heavenly garden. To that heavenly garden. To paradise. To heaven. That they, those wretched people who only destroy themselves and who have nothing to pay and long to be brought back to God, that they may be brought back into that heavenly paradise, to that heavenly garden, forever to enjoy uninterrupted sweet communion with the Lord. But why in a new tomb? A new tomb where no body has ever been laid. Why? Is that just accidental? No, congregation. There is no accident. It's all with a purpose. Why? Because a dead body laying in a tomb would also corrupt the grave. Jesus Christ, in his death, he also entered a tomb. And no body was there. He remained pure. He remained pure also in his burial and in his death. We read in Acts 2 verse 27, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." And so we have considered a little something of those first two questions of Lord's Day 16. The church confesses, I believe in Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, suffered, died, and was buried. Is that your confession? No, not a confession with your mouth only, but is a confession with your heart. Has it become so necessary? Has it become so sweet, so precious that he came, but also that he gave everything? Congregation, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We must pay. Payment must be made. And maybe you think secretly, I'll escape. God is also a God of mercy. God is a God of love. Yes, he is. But not at the expense of his justice and righteousness. He must be paid. And if you are not under this precious payment of his son, then you must pay eternally yourself. Ever longing to pay and never able to pay. And the debt only will increase, forever lost. He that hath the Son hath life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. Do you think you will escape? You will not. His own dear beloved Son did not escape the well-deserved wrath of God, and no sinner will ever escape. And yet you may hear of such wonders of God's grace, of the gospel of God the Father through his Son. Oh, may you hear it by the power of the Holy Spirit. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And Church of God, one day you will need to die. I will die. And then our bodies will be placed in the grave. You heard it. The grave is sanctified by Jesus Christ. It's a resting place. Then that body will raise again. Then that body will be perfect. No more corruption. No more self-destruction. Then no more flesh. Buried all the flesh, all that self-destruction, all that sin, and raised again, perfect. And then to enter into eternal glory and to see him face to face, to be able to sing forever, uninterrupted communion, and to hear him singing over you. What a future. What a blessed people. Seek it in him. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O wilt thou richly bless thy word thou hast promised, that thy word will never return unto thee void. Oh, may it be to the saving of sinners, to instruction, food and drink for poor and needy sinners. Oh, may poor sinner have heard of that only payment, and may the hearing of the gospel be given faith, working faith in the heart. As we read in thy word of that woman that had the issue of blood, she heard of Jesus, and she was drawn unto him. Oh, may it also be so tonight, that sinners may hear for the first time or by renewal of Jesus Christ and of his payment, and that that hearing may work faith, and that they may be drawn unto him, that they may flee unto him and have no rest until they may rest under him, under his payment, to be covered by his righteousness and to be washed in his blood. Lord, keep us then in this week. Help us, Lord, in all our responsibilities. Oh, may we feel it so lost, all lost, that we would not seek the things of this world, that we would not destroy our own souls, but that we may come on our knees to read thy word, to pray unto thee, to become lost beggars at thy throne of grace, begging thee, Lord, have mercy. Speak, Lord, come. Comfort my soul, and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Be with us also as we hope to gather as a congregation after this service to sing. May it be done with heart and mouth for the glory of thy name. Lord, we thank thee then for thy precious word and for thy help to hear and to preach. Without thee we can do nothing. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing now in closing Psalter 422, stanzas 6. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. We lift our heads aloft, for God our shield is o'er us. Through him alone, whose presence goes before us, will wear the victor's crown. No more by foes assaulted, will triumph through our King, by Israel's God exalted. 422, stanzas 6.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.